News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. Good evening. I'm Steve Evans. Brad Grammer, Water Treatment Plant Manager for the Central Utah Water Conservancy District in Vernal, is joining us this evening to discuss a new recreation facility in Uinta County called Via Ferrata, meaning Iron Way in Italian. Via Ferrata is a popular European mountain or cliff exploration activity, which dates back to the 1800s, but became known for moving troops around the borders of Austria and Italy during World War I. The chosen site for the Via Ferrata in our area is Ashley Gorge, which is northwest of Vernal, adjacent to Ashley Springs, the primary source of our drinking water here in the Vernal area. Support of this project is divided among many in our community. Many outdoor enthusiasts in our rock climbing community are thrilled with the opportunities to enhance skills and to recreate closer to home. Additionally, citizens and local government leaders supporting ways to better diversify and grow our economic base in Uinta County are supportive of the facility, which will bring thousands of visitors to our area to recreate and bring needed revenue into our county and cities. Roughly 90% of the drinking water in the greater Vernal area comes from the Ashley Springs. Some water personnel who are charged with protection of our drinking water are asking the county to tap the brakes on this project, expressing concerns that the public should not be allowed to recreate near our primary drinking water source, thus potentially jeopardizing our local water supply. In an attempt to present both arguments for and against this project to the public in a fair and unbiased manner, we conducted an interview with Uinta County Public Information Officer Travis Campbell to come on the air with us yesterday to discuss this project from the county's perspective. Tonight, we are pleased to welcome Brad Grammer in studio to discuss this project from his perspective. Brad Grammer, welcome to the KVL studios. Thank you for taking time to address this important issue with our public.
And thanks for having me today.
All right. Brad, tell us a little bit about your position with Water Treatment Manager. I understand there's two water treatment facilities in our area. This is where we get our primary drinking water, correct?
Correct. I'm the plant manager for the Central Utah Water Conservancy District, Ashley Valley Water Treatment Plant. We're on Docks Beach Hill by the Rod and Gun Club, and we are one of two treatment plants that services the area.
And your treatment plant services the area of the water that's coming out of Ashley Springs, correct?
Yes. 80% of the water that we treat annually comes from Ashley Springs.
Where does the other 20% come from?
The other 20% comes from Red Fleet.
With a water treatment facility, are you testing for E. coli and other bacteria? Are you treating it for that?
Yes, we test the raw water sources for E. coli and coliform bacteria monthly.
Okay, and how is the water in the greater Vernal area coming from your plant?
We have been awarded prestigious awards for our drinking water, and we attribute that primarily to Ashley Springs, as it's a very pure source of water.
Well, if you're the person we compliment, I want to compliment you because I absolutely love the water in Vernal. But then again, my mother lives in Mesquite, Nevada.
Yeah.
And you want to drink bottled water when you're down there.
Yeah, we get a lot of compliments, and it's because we have such a high quality source water.
Brad Grammer, why should we care about protecting Ashley Springs?
Because it is our primary drinking water source. Ashley Springs is a natural spring. It's surface water influenced. It comes from the mountains into some sinkholes up the Dry Fork drainage and then surfaces in Ashley Springs. And then we pull it right into the treatment plants. And so there's not a lot of potential for contaminants in from the nature side of things, but we want to keep it that way. We want to make sure that there is, that we are taking care of the source water protection and making sure that it is a topic of discussion, because there's so many places that don't, and then they end up in trouble, and then it's much harder to close Pandora's box once it gets open.
Now, the first time I met you, Brad Grammer, was on a tour of the facility up at Ashley Springs. First time I'd ever been in that part of the county, and what a beautiful little gorge it is.
It is. And the reason that it is such a beautiful gorge is because it has been limited access. There's private land. There is public utility land that you have to cross to get to it. And so, when people go up there and see how beautiful it is, it's pristine. And that's because there has been limited access.
Now, I understand, at least from my visit up there, that most of the water that comes from Ashley Springs is in an aquifer deep underground. How many feet is that deep?
I don't know that anyone has exact figures, but
around 1,000?
Some of the reports say 1,000, 1,400 feet.
Okay. That's pretty deep.
It is.
What percentage of our water comes from that deep underground aquifer?
Like I say, 80% of the water that comes out of the springs we know comes from the Dry Fork sinkholes, and then there's about 20% that comes from the Red Pine sinkhole up Ashley Gorge.
Okay. So most of the water that you're treating is not exposed to the public or not exposed even to open air.
Right. That's one of the reasons that Ashley Springs is such a high quality water, is that it's runoff from the surface, from the mountains. It goes into these sinkholes. There's no sunlight, no heat, no animals. It's cold, and it keeps it pristine until it hits the springs.
So why should we be concerned about a rock climbing wall going up on the face of a rock cliff, away from the water source, and where the water is actually deep underneath the ground, 1,000 to 1,400 feet deep?
Because they have done dye tests in the area. Some of those dye tests showed that they actually dumped this powder dye out on the rocks. They flushed it into the crevices of the rocks, and some of that dye showed up in the spring itself. And so we know that there's a lot of infiltration from the surrounding area.
Okay. So what are your primary concerns with people up on a vertical trail along a cliff of how they could compromise our water source?
We all love the outdoors, and, you know, sometimes nature calls and we have to do our business. And if you're not around a toilet facility, then you just pick the nearest bush or hidden spot, and that can become an issue. That type of activity can contribute to E. coli that will eventually find its way into the springs.
Now, it can. It's really hard to go to the bathroom when you're on a vertical cliff hanging on for your dear life, wouldn't it be?
There's rocks, there's crevices, there's places to stand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it's possible, from your perspective, that E. coli and other bacteria from fecal matter or urine could get down into the water supply.
Yes, and we know that from historical data that we test monthly the raw water for E. coli and coliform bacteria, and we know that Ashley Springs is more susceptible. We get higher hits of E. coli on the springs versus Red Fleet. Red Fleet seems to somehow treat it better, and it doesn't bring it to our sample site, which is our facility.
So, Brad, let me understand this. You get higher concentrations of bacteria coming from the pristine water in Ashley Springs than we do from Red Fleet Reservoir?
Yes.
Where people pee in the water all the time?
That is what our data shows us. Yes, that is correct.
Wow.
It's more susceptible to that.
Do you treat the water for E. coli and other bacteria?
We do. Surface water treatment plants, we treat for particulate matter. And so we hope that we're going to get most of or all of the bacteria that comes into the system. We're going to filter it out. But we like to take a multi-barrier approach. We don't just like to, ignore the source water. Actually, the initial conditions determines the outcome. And therefore, if you can control what's going into the karst system, the springs, then you can control better what the treatment plant has to deal with and remove. So it just makes sense that, it's a holistic approach to our water.
Brad Grammer, when I went up there the first time with you on that meeting where we were introduced to this project, I was really kind of taken back by the lack of security up there with our water supply. I mean, there was a little padlock. The desander was completely wide open. You just had to open a bin and you could get right, you could get in it and swim around if you wanted to. What can be done to better protect, and should be done to better protect, that water source up there?
Well, and that is part of the concern from the water industry, is that we We've been protected all these years because there has been limited access. Private property, public utility has a gate on it with a lock. If we're going to open this up for public access now, we recognize that our security is not where we want it to be. We were in the process already of getting fiber and power up to the desander and the spring box. And we were planning on putting in fencing as well, but now that has stepped up to a different level, and we really weren't informed about these changes until last minute. So now we're kind of behind the eight ball, and we need to do something. It raises a level of concern for all interested parties in the water industry.
Brad, when was the first time you were informed about this as the water treatment manager?
It was middle of May. We had a public meeting.
Of this year?
Yeah, of this year.
Okay.
It was after the construction had already begun is when I first found out about it.
We had Travis Campbell on the air with us yesterday from Uinta County, who was discussing the project in a very open question-answer series, which incidentally, if you're interested in hearing that side of the argument, you can go to Basin Now and click on the community tab, and you'll find it under the community affairs page. They're proposing fencing, security cameras, an advisory board to control the traffic in and out of the area. They're also proposing vaulted toilets that would be in a couple of places along the trail, which would be serviced on a regular basis. Those things, and they would all be paid for by the grant and by the county. I think that would be a great value to the water supply there to help further protect it.
It's a must. If we're going to have people up there, it's really a must that we have those types of things. But the important thing is that they're maintained on a continual basis. Nobody's going to go in and use a bathroom that's nasty and hasn't been maintained. And so,
would you be willing to serve on advisory board?
Oh, absolutely. I would welcome that. I've been trying to get my input to this project and be involved. And it's been a difficult process. There's not a lot of coordination. There's not been a lot of openness about meetings. And so, you know, it's been slow to get started. It's getting better, but we can do better. We need to do better, and we have to do better.
Well, I'm sorry that you weren't involved. You should have been involved from the very, very beginning of this. So what are your concerns beyond security of the area up there? Is there an area that the public has access that gets close to the water?
Oh, absolutely. It's a very narrow canyon. Even if we put up fences, they'll be walking right outside the fence, which, you know, I mean, we have to look at the Wasatch Front as a model for this. A lot of recreation goes on up the Cottonwood Canyons and stuff, and so they've had to wrestle with all of the problems and issues that arise. And I think we need to be talking about that now, not waiting until after the fact. The Safe Drinking Water Act requires us that we protect from harm our source water. And that doesn't mean reactive, that means proactive, and we need to be ahead of the game.
Why did the county adopt the Ashley Springs Protection Zone? What is the Ashley Springs Protection Zone, first of all?
So in 2013, we were fighting a battle with a phosphate mine that wanted to mine both sides of the gorge, remove 300 feet of overburden through blasting, and we just didn't feel that that was going to support, or that wasn't going to do the springs any good. It was probably going
to be detrimental. I remember that. That was pretty upsetting to many in the community, including myself.
You know, we have this beautiful source of water. We don't have to pump it. It's a high quality source, and we need to protect it. And it's not going to protect itself.
We definitely don't need a mine by it.
Right.
But this recreational facility with controlled environment was not the same on the same level, is it?
It's not. It's not on the same level, but the amount of, or the lack of involvement from water community people in this project has been very minimal, and we need to step it up. There are concerns that need to be addressed. Do I think that it's going to end the springs? No. But do I think that we need to have a high level of concern that our source water needs to be protected? Absolutely.
Okay. As I understand it, the county attorney, John Sturmer, wrote the Ashley Springs Protection Zone in 2013.
Yes.
Do you feel that we are in violation of that protection zone ordinance that he wrote?
That one's a tough question, and I don't really want to comment on it. What I will say is that I think that the county needs to do more. We can't just have them saying we didn't know. The people they need to contact are listed in that ordinance that they wrote, that the county attorney wrote. It's all right there, and we need to have meetings with that group that said they were interested back then. They need to be informed about it now, and it's just we've put the cart before the horse. We're not having the meetings until after this thing has been constructed, and that's just a terrible, terrible way to run a project.
And I think anyone would agree with you on that front. This should be discussed before construction begins. Brad Grammer, from your perspective, what could be done that at this point that would satisfy you as our water manager from the treatment plant there, that these two facilities can coexist with each other?
I think we need to have the county. So typically in a project, the project owner will step up and inform all interested parties of what the project is. They will have a site plan that's been approved by civil engineers. They will follow all state codes that state where they can construct facilities and how it's to be done. And then go ahead and invite those people who are listed in the protection ordinance, invite those to a meeting and give them the plans and say, review this, and then take input from that. You know, that hasn't occurred.
Could it happen retroactively? And would that satisfy your concerns if that were done?
That's what I have been asking for all summer. It's kind of too late. They've already built it. They haven't finished the parking lot. They haven't finished the bathrooms, whatever else their plans are. They haven't even established a right-of-way or an access. And that's one of the reasons that they're still working with Ashley Valley Water and Sewer, is to gain an access. They were ill prepared for how quickly this went.
I guess the question is how can we put this together so that the community can have this asset and still protect our water and move forward?
Take ownership. The county needs to take ownership. It's their project. They need to stand up and say, we will support this going into the future. They need to put together the advisory team. They need to listen to the advisory team, whether it's good or bad input. They need to listen, and they need to act on those to protect our water. I'm all about protecting the water. Do I think that they can coexist with this Via Ferrata? Maybe, if it's done right. Do I think that the county could have put this Via Ferrata in any of 100 other canyons? Yeah, they probably could have. I don't know why this was selected, and it wasn't open and forthright. The selection of this was not done.
So, I think it was because the county owned the property.
And
we all know what it's like in oil country, what it's like to get through the federal government to get the...
But
the NEPA process and
the problem with that is the reason they got the county in the first place is to protect the water.
Correct.
That's the number one thing listed in the Dingell Act, is to protect the water. And so
what is the Dingell Act?
The Dingell Act is how the BLM transferred this 791 acres to Uinta County. They passed the Dingell Act, and it had several stipulations. Number one was to protect the aquifer and the source water. They are not allowed to have any mining activities on the property. They're not allowed to build roads, and they are to allow public access for recreation. There are some who think that means to develop, but the Dingell Act just states simply to allow access.
But what kind of development is happening other than the parking area, the vaulted toilets, and infrastructure along the face of the cliff for hiking?
That I don't know. I have yet to see any plans. I've heard rumors and stories. I don't want to express those because until they're substantiated, right. You know. But
right. That's what Facebook's for.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of things that you know I don't know what's going on, and that's the problem is I don't know what's going on. Give us the plans and let us look at them and let us give input. That's all I'm asking for.
Brad Grammer, if that were done, would they have your support?
As long as they own up to it and continue to champion source water protection, and it's an ongoing thing. It's a commitment to water quality. We need to be committed to water quality, not just today, but into the future. We need to have communication. We need to have open information. We need to be able to talk about things before they're done, not after.
Right. Brad Grammer, I thank you personally for the work that you're doing to protect our water source here in the greater Vernal area and the job that you've done. How long have you been working up there as the water treatment plant manager?
I've been at the facility for 25 years, and I've been the plant manager for 19.
Wow. Okay. You know a few things.
I know my stuff, yes.
You know your stuff. Well, we appreciate, and you're very passionate about protecting our water, and I couldn't think of anybody better to have over supervision of our water treatment plant than someone who is as passionate as you are about this. So I thank you for protecting our water so that I can brag to my mom about how great our water is.
Okay, and I thank you for having me and being able to share my input and my message is we need to protect the water, and that's the ultimate goal for me is to let's protect the water.
Before we close here, Brad, are there any final thoughts or information that you'd like to share with the public?
I think it's everyone's responsibility to have an opinion about this. If you drink water in the Ashley Valley, then this will impact you. If worst case scenario, something happens to the springs and we have to treat more of Red Fleet. The Red Fleet costs are much higher to treat and pump. Ashley Springs is a natural source. It's gravity flow to the treatment plants. Red Fleet, we pay for pumping. We have 3 to 5 times the chemical dose to treat to get it to the same quality. It's just more costly to treat Red Fleet. Although Red Fleet is our future, we have more water available in Red Fleet. The springs are pretty much tapped out and used up for culinary. And so, you know, it's in all of our best interest to protect this wonderful, wonderful source that we've been given and make sure that it's protected into the future.
Now, the county has scheduled an open house where the public, citizens, can go to present their questions and discuss this project with officials. And that is scheduled for Monday evening at Western Park, and I believe it's from 5 to 7 p.m. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. So I would encourage anyone that has questions, our drinking water is important, and we should be involved in issues like this, to come to that meeting, listen to both sides of the argument, and then make your decision of where you stand on it.
Sure.
And that's what we've tried to do here on the radio station, is present both sides in a fair and unbiased manner. So we hope we've done that. Brad, thank you for coming.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
All right. Brad Grammer, he's a water treatment plant manager for the Central Utah Water Conservancy District here in Vernal, responsible in part. There's a lot of people that are responsible, but he's responsible in part for making sure or ensuring that we have the best water in the state of Utah, which I would argue that we do. Thank you for joining us. If you're interested in listening to another perspective on this project, we encourage you to visit Basin Now under the community page. Click on the community affairs and you'll find both the interview with Uinta County and Mr. Grammer posted there. So thank you for joining us here on News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. I'm Steve Evans. Thank you for joining us.